您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com， 点击 Roundtable。Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。Recently, Hubei province has published the top 10 taboo sentences and 10 beautiful sentences for teachers. So they hope to regulate teachers' usage of language. What are these taboo and beautiful sentences? And are you familiar with any of them? 近日湖北省呢公布教师的十大美语、十大禁语，希望规范教师的职业用语。有的时候老师一句话就可以让你充满正能量，有的时候也可以摧毁你的自信。那你在上学的时候是否因为老师的一句话而小宇宙爆发，而你最不想听到的又是什么呢？ So let's talk about these sentences. I think it's, we should go over them at first and then, you know, talk, join in and share your comments about them.
Yes, I think really we need to read out some of the sentences so we know what we're talking about, don't we?
What's your favorite, Mark?
Well, let's talk about the taboo sentences. Some of them are, this is what a teacher must not say to the child. It's okay that you don't want to learn,But you can't influence others. Or here's another one. What do your parents do? Kind of like denigrating the child simply because of their parents' occupation. I've never seen a student like you.
I think the worst one here, the one that really hit me the hardest, is I know you can't change.
Yes.
Oh. That seems like the meanest thing you could say to a child.
Yeah.
And you know, I think this shows a lack of understanding of modernchild psychology in education. Because saying something like that, I know you can't change. This is, children want to please the teachers and their parents. And whatever you say to the child, like, you know, if you bring up a child saying, you know, you're such a loser,That's what you'll end up with. You know, they want to please and they'll become the thing that you tell them they are. And this is why this is so dangerous to use this kind of negative language, saying, you know, you'll never change, you're bad. That's what they will become.
I mean,
so encouragement is the way to go.
And the thing is that if you're using this kind of language with your students, it does make you question whether the teachers are qualified to do their jobs. Now, recently I actually read the work of two different PhD professors who specialised in education. One of them was from the United States and the other one, he was from India. And the professor, Bhushan Manchanda, he wrote an in-depth paper talking about the four key aspects of education, which were knowledge, which is quite obvious, and that was followed by communication, interest,and respect for your student. And when you look at some of the taboo sentences in this list here, like you can't change, or what do your parents do, or if you don't want to learn, you can go back, it shows a lack of respect and interest in your students. And based on the paper that I read, if you're not able to communicate these two qualities with your students, it makes it very difficult to teach them.
That's right. And now here comes the sad part.I'm sure most of our listeners will agree with me is that we have heard most of these sentences either thrown at us or at others in our class back in our school days. Now, apparently we have established before that I'm sort of a good student, so, you know, I don't hear these sentences spoken to me personally, but they've all been spoken to many, many of my classmates. And this is not the worst. I think the worst that I have heard were to the effect of, you know, something like that. And I know, Sam, your Chinese is quite good. So something like, you know, 你是滚刀肉 and 老油条. So comparing the students to a stale, twisted dough stick that no matter how much you fry it, how deeply you fry it, they will...not get better, or something like that.
It's not a very pleasant term to say to a child.
No.
How old were your classmates at the time when the teachers made this comment
to them? We were about 5th, 6th graders to 7th graders,
The thing that gets me about the story is that I would say that if this was in the United Kingdom, and this is actually based on a really popular TV series I saw recently, I think Mark saw it as well, about
the Chinese BBC teachers documentary.
The BBC documentary about the Chinese teachers that came to Britain. And one of the big takeaways I had from that show was that when the teachers spoke in a manner that could be considered rude to the English students, they really didn't accept it. They said that they actually just said, that's so rude. How can you talk to us like that? And they actually did fight back. But what are the general reactions for Chinese students and Chinese parents when teachers talk to them in this way?
They just listened. And of course,
they just take it.
Yeah, they just take it. And no parents would object merely the language of the teachers. They would object if there's corporal punishment, of course, and if there were some more outright or outrageous insults, say you're stupid, you're incorrigible, or something like that, mere insults or bad words. But if it's to the effect of these 10 taboo sentences, I don't think parents would...
I was going to mention that BBC documentary because it was very interesting. I think the final conclusion that just about everybody had is that the UK can learn something from China and China can learn something from the UK. Specifically, the UK can learn a bit more discipline in schools from China and the China can learn a bit more creativity and less rote learning. But one of the other things I must say is that Sam was at school more recently than I was. I'm a few years older than him. But nevertheless, Sam, when you were at school, I don't know, but when I was at school, I never heard any of these negative phrases used at all. So this, again, is perhaps something that Chinese teachers can learn from the child psychology that has been in place in British schools for a long time. So I don't know about when you... Did you ever hear any of these phrases?
No, I fully concur, Mark.
Did the teacher ever say anything like this to you?
I've never seen a teacher be that rude to any students in any of my old schools. And it's really interesting as well, because I think if a teacher was that rude, I don't want to say rude, if they spoke in that manner to a student in an English school, it would create a very uneasy learning environment. The students would have trouble learning.
But it's more than rudeness. It's psychologically damaging. That's the difference, I think. And so I think, based on your own experience, Xiaohua, it seems that this is one of those things that perhaps China can learn from that other education system.
Definitely, maybe. Definitely. I agree, because I don't think this has to do with ways of methods of teaching specific knowledge points, whether it's rote learning or whether it's encouraging creativity. It's not that. It's just merely mutual respect. If students are required to respect the teachers, then teachers should show their students similar respect.
I think it's more than respect. It's psychological motivation. I mean, the other current thinking in child psychology is, you know, don't criticize the child, criticize the action. So if your child has walked in with muddy boots on, you don't say, you know, you're a bad person. You say, you know, that's a bad thing to do. You know, the implication is you're a good person doing a bad thing. In other words, you can change your behavior.
Exactly.
But if you say you're a bad person, that can't be changed. And so this is, it all ties in with modern approaches to psychology, I think, this what they're doing in schools.
I fully agree. And it's also, the other big point I wanted to stretch from this is it's also about creating the right atmosphere. So I also read another PhD paper recently by Dr. John Green, who had decades of experience as a teacher, a principal, a vice principal, really knew what he was talking about. And I'm just going to quote one sentence from what he wrote here. He said, it's important to keep every student in the game and don't let any of them give up. And when a teacher is telling you literally to give up, I think we've got one of those quotes here, you can't change. Does it not create, Xiaohua, from your experience, have you not seen it create an environment where the student just doesn't feel like they can learn anymore when they're hearing such negative feedback?
Exactly. One of the things I've noticed is that when teacher hurls such insults or such rude sentences towards the students, sometimes the students will react by laughing or acting nonchalant, acting as if they don't care. But I think deep down, their attitude was really like, this was too much to take, or I have to do something to show that I don't care, or I hate this at me. But they cannot, you know, retort back at the teacher, so all they could do was to pretend to a dry laugh or something.
Well, yes, and if the teacher tells them, you know, you can't change, then why should that student even attempt to improve their behavior or their performance? I mean, the modern approach now is to encourage, see what they're good at and encourage that and downplay the negative and try and steer them into an area of something that they're good at and then encourage them into doing that.
That's true. Now, let's talk about some of these good sentences, the sentences teachers are encouraged to say. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I have a problem with some of them. I think some of them should not be said too often to students as well. I don't know about your ideas.
Well, it depends what they are. I mean, I think you might be thinking about the first one on the list. you're the best. Is that the one?
Exactly.
Is that the problem
for
you?
I have problem with that. You know, why would the teacher say to someone, you're the best?
Well, what if they are the best? What if they have come first in a race? What if they have come first in a maths test?
What if the second one passes by and hears the sentence?
Well, the other thing interesting
about... doesn't change the fact that that person is the best.
I
haven't got a problem. As long as it's true, I haven't got a problem with it personally.
But the other thing about that sentence is it's actually a bit of a mistranslation. The Chinese is actually Nisha Zui Bang Dan Nu Hai, you're the best girl.
Yeah. And why that?
That's even
worse.
I don't like that because
you wouldn't, especially if you know.
If someone said I was the best girl, I'd be
no
like,
boy would.
Nobody would enjoy
yeah,
that.
I would, I mean, if a teacher said to me, Sam, you're the best girl, what am I meant to do? But no, it's I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, but it's almost like. First of all, I don't think you should preference their gender. So if you think you're the best student, you're the best student. Mm. It's just as simple as that. And secondly, I think we should always keep this relative, because if you look at educational studies, telling someone that they've already done enough can promote laziness. If I say to you, Xiaohua, you're the best radio presenter I've ever seen. Xiaohua can be like, well, that's great. There's no reason for me to get better. He's already said I'm the best.
True, I've changed my mind in the last couple of minutes listening to you.
No, motivational speech.
That is a good thing to be able to do, actually, and because I think you're right. I mean, no child, however well they do, has reached the pinnacle of human, you know, success. So you're absolutely right. I think it's perhaps not appropriate to say you're the best. It's better to say, you know, you've done really well, and you might be able to do even better next time.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I'm not a teacher, but if I was, I would say something to my students along the line of, you're fantastic, that was a great job. And remember, if you want to get even better at it, you could try doing this as well. And then you're giving them the reinforcement that they deserve. Mm. But you're also encouraging them to push that boundary and really strive to be exceptional, which is a positive thing.
Yeah, that's true. I also want to get your opinions on another sentence, the last one here, which says, I'd rather you complain about me for a while than to hate me for the rest of your life in the future. Now, this is a sentence that often Chinese parents and sometimes teachers say to sort of encourage their students, the children, to do something very difficult at the moment, so to look at the future for the benefit for you in the future. I don't know, have you ever heard your teacher say similar things to you?
I didn't.
No, never.
Yeah, this is a bit weird for me as well.
It's a bit of a complicated concept, and plus the fact that if you say that to teenagers, I imagine, having been one myself, you know, it wouldn't make an impact.
Yeah.
They just think, I don't care about what's happening in the future. I just care about what's happening now. One of the other ones that I like is this, there's no failure, only paused success. I mean, I would rephrase it. Mm. I mean, I would say that, you know, failure is just another way of learning. And if you look at people like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and all these people, all these successful people, like especially Warren Buffett, these people do not acknowledge that there is such a thing as failure. They always see failure as an opportunity to learn and not do the same thing again, do something different next time. So I think that one's very good, because if you tell people that they might fail if they try something, they might be too afraid or embarrassed to even try. If you say, whatever the outcome is, you're either going to succeed or you'll know what not to do next time, that's a much more positive approach to this whole idea of the concept of failure. I think it should be redefined as just, it didn't work this time, so try something else until it works.
Yeah. Right, Sam, do you think that, because I think there's a subtle cultural difference behind this sentence of, you know, I'd rather you hate me for a while than you hate me for the rest of your life, something like that.
I have a question. How is that going to work for a teacher? It's like, I'd rather you hate me now than for the rest of your life. You're not going to see them. How many people here know a teacher that they've kept in touch with since the age of 6?
Right. But the
it seems like something your parents would say to you, exactly, as opposed to your teacher.
Yeah. That's true. But also the teachers, maybe a student would hate the teacher because they did not teach them enough, because they did not drill them enough. But I don't think any student would hate their teachers for that.
I picked up on that one. It seems to me to be not one of the better ones.
Yeah, right. Which is why
I'm interested in why you're interested in it.
I'm interested in it because I think there's a problem with the logic behind it.
Yes, I think you're right there, yes.
I remember previously I spoke with another commentator on this issue, and she did actually say to me that we got into a really long debate about how children should spend their childhood. And my focus was that I think that parents and teachers should push children a lot harder when they're young, because it leads you to being a much more well-rounded person when you're older. So if you're five and your parents teach you to play the piano and how to draw and how to speak another language, those are all skills you can enjoy when you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and so on. And the Chinese commentator I spoke with said, no, I disagree, because for Chinese students, their life is so hard and they have so much pressure when they're young. All of them don't really think of it in that manner. They think about how they need more, how they wish they had more free time to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a difference because, yes, for Chinese students, they already have a hard enough time studying the things within the classrooms. So having them, making them learn these other skills may be a little bit too much stretch.
But I think you're right, Sam, in that from a personal point of view, when I came to China, I realized that I wasn't going to be watching much TV because I couldn't understand it, which was great. And then the TV broke and I never got it fixed. This meant that I went back to things that I'd learned before. I bought a keyboard because I'd had piano lessons as a child.
I
did some painting, which I'd always wanted to do and was taught as a child. So I would not even have thought of doing those things unless I had that early childhood experience that my parents insisted that I had.
Yeah, that does make sense, I think so.